In many countries, Chinese porcelain was highly appreciated. Throughout the centuries, many rulers and patrons of art provided artisans with resources for them to reveal the recipe on how to make porcelain. In addition to the secret of the making of porcelain, a fundamental revolution happened in the history of Chinese porcelain during the 14th century under the rulership of Mongols, which would have an enormous impact on the entire Near East and ultimately on Europe. Everything began with the introduction of cobalt blue as decorative pigment. After the Mongol dynasty was established in Greater Iran in the early 14th century, Iran started to export cobalt blue to China. Iran, as many other Muslim countries like Egypt, Syria, or Turkey, was fascinated by the beauty and elegance of Chinese porcelain, especially by that of blue and white porcelain. During the 17th century, Iranian potters made great efforts to imitate Chinese porcelain, as it was still very much in demand. The dish in front of you closely imitates the lotus bouquet which appeared on Chinese porcelain exports during the early Ming period from the early 15th century. All three eras of the surface of the dish refer to the Chinese model. The Safavid dish is a white base with a bracket rim, as was customary of Chinese imported porcelain. The central design, painted in cobalt blue with black outlining, is a bouquet of lotus blossoms tied by a ribbon. The thin stems of the plant undulate as if in water. The painter followed the early Ming model very closely. The rim was a cresting wave border widely used on Chinese porcelain since the late 14th century. When you go around the dish, you will see on the glazed base a black square with four small motifs inside it, resembling the Chinese rind marks, often painted on the base by Ming potters. The fact that the dish was not copied from contemporary imports of porcelain, but imitates a model dating back to the 15th century, raises the question of how this was possible and why. Fine porcelain had been arriving in Iran ever since its export began. The princes and aristocracy of Iran collected porcelains that arrived with embassies from China or found their way to the shores of Iran on the merchant ships of European East India companies. Several large collections were assembled throughout centuries. The 17th century donation of Shah Abbas the Great at the shrine of Sheikh Safi in Ardabil being the best known in Iran. The city of Kerman is one of the ceramic production centers of Iran and well known for its fine Safavid ceramics of the 17th century. The Iranian potter might have had access to the Ardabil collection to have inspiration for their own creation, as this dish shows. The journey of blue and white porcelain from China to Europe over the Near East is adventurous and fascinating. The Europeans had to wait until the 18th century to unveil the secret of porcelain. It was first in 18th century Germany that Europe had the knowledge of making porcelain after many years of failure. In 1702, Johann Friedrich Böttger, as a young alchemist, was ordered by Augustus the Strong to Dresden, Saxony, as his reputation for knowing the secret of creating gold had spread. After many attempts, he failed to reveal the philosopher's stone, but invented stoneware. Clay combined with quartz and flux material, then fired at high temperatures. Unknowingly, he had successfully cracked the secret formula for porcelain manufacture in Europe. Böttger since then ranks as one of the major pioneers in European porcelain and the founder of the Meissen porcelain manufactory, and the nickname for porcelain, white gold, is also associated with him. That ties in perfectly when you consider how luster technique developed to replace the vessels in gold and silver in the 9th century. I thank you for visiting our museum. I hope you enjoyed listening to my approach on looking at specific artworks, especially in regard to the topic of our tour, achievements and contributions of Muslim civilizations. I hope it conveyed how important it is to have a closer look and create links between the artworks, which we are proud to adore separately, and how they all create different levels of importance within the world cultural heritage. I encourage you to visit our shop, cafe, and restaurant, which offer further inspiration and unexpected experiences.